thinking you may be seated. I don't know about y'all, but I was having a big old time up here singing that song, I guarantee you. Of course, I'm worried about some of you. That second verse says, redeemed and so happy in Jesus. I was looking out here, knowing what that verse said, looking out here, looking for those that were happy. Some of you hide it real good, all right? Man, yeah, I can tell you, just bubbling over, you know. There used to be a quartet, and they may still sing the Dixie Melody Boys, and they had a fellow played the piano for them, and man, he just had this blank look. I mean, never, and they, you know, they gave him a hard time, and because he didn't have a smile, but they said, he's real happy to be here, you can tell, and just looked at him, it was a blank face, you know. Some of y'all, I guess, are like that. So anyway, I don't know what to do to help you, all right? Going to preach to you a little while this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will. The Apostle Paul wrote at least two letters to the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth was a very worldly, carnal church. Be honest with you, like a lot of what passes for Christianity today. Very worldly, carnal kind of thing. The truth is, they did not have an outstanding testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was things going on there that Paul had to deal with that was kind of, we would say, is a little bit unbelievable. But there are things going on today among God's people that are kind of unbelievable too. People that name the name of Christ. And Paul wrote under the inspiration of God to help those folks, to teach them, to instruct them, all right, in the things of God. And the greatest thing about it, everything he said to them is good for us today. Just as good for us as it was for them. And I want you to focus your heart and your mind today on just one verse, all right? Just one verse in this book, just one verse in this chapter, and we're just going to kind of seal it and grab a hold of it and go through it a little bit at a time. I want to preach you a very simple sermon. You say, preacher, what's new? Nothing. But I figure if I can preach it simple, you can understand it. You can grasp it. Just a very simple sermon on the certainty of heaven. The certainty of heaven. Would you look at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The certainty of heaven. I want you to see it with me, all right? The first thing, just the certainty in these words, we know. We no. There's no doubt. There's no equivocation. There's no question. There's no condition attached to it, all right? It's not we know if. There's no confusion about it. Just a simple statement that we know. Hey, folks, when the Bible says we know, then you can put it down for a dead, sure, certain guarantee. We know it. We know it. A lot of people today would argue with us and say, well, you can't know things. Well, the Bible says we can. I've had people tell me, say, out witnessing, say, well, you can't know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Well, the only problem with that is the Bible says we can know. We can know. It says we can know that thing. So when the Bible says those two words, we know, hey, we know it. Paul gives us just a very simple statement of a positive, certain truth, all right? Notice there is that little word if in this verse. But aren't you glad it doesn't come before the two words we know? The Bible does not say if we know. No, instead it says we know if, all right? We know it, and it is certain, it's a positive thing, it's established, it's a known truth that he's giving to us this morning, all right? A known truth, for we know, all right? Hey, it's certain in those words. Then I want you to see something. There's certainty in the structure that's mentioned. The Bible says in this verse we have a building. A building, all right? It's not some abstract concept we're dealing with, all right? It's not just a promise of some mystical idea floating around out yonder in the ether of the universe. I don't even know what that means. But I've heard people say it. And they said it like they knew what it meant, all right? I mean, just out there. Hey, that's not what we're talking about. The Bible says it's a building. A building, all right? It's not like a building. It is a building. A few years ago, the young people of our land were afflicted with a terrible speech impediment. They could not speak one sentence without using the word like maybe three times in that sentence. Y'all remember those days you try to talk to somebody? A younger person that'd say, hey, like, man, I'm real like glad to know that you like me. I remember stopping them, but they would say something like, well, like I know. I said, now wait a minute. Do you know or is it like you know? Or is that a banana or is that like a banana? Let's make up your mind. Hey, notice the Bible doesn't say like a building. It says a building, all right? We have a building, all right? A structure, all right? Look, heaven is not a place where disembodied spirits float around on clouds plucking on harps, okay? Well, some people have got the most warped idea of what heaven is like. It's almost beyond belief. The saved will exist eternally, if you will, in a body that is real, okay? I've found this. Bodies at times enjoy buildings. Aren't you glad we can gather in a building today? We can handle the temperature. Now, I enjoy being outside a great deal. But I'll be honest with you. When it's really, really cold, I like being in a building where the heater really, really works. And I'm glad if God wanted somebody to go to Siberia, to Yakutsk, that I'm glad he called him and not me. I just be honest, okay? I'm glad he called him because I do like it where you can get to, you know, I like being in a building. I like being in a building that's got padded pews. Man, if I'm going to sit through some sermons, I definitely want a padded pew. There have been times I wanted a pillow, okay? But we're going to try to keep it from being that way today, all right? Hey, there's buildings. Bodies enjoy buildings. They're buildings in heaven. These are buildings that can be seen. They can be felt. They exist. They're not an abstract, but a concrete concept. Are you with me? You say, preacher, why are you emphasizing that? Because I want you to realize something. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. It is just as real as this building we're sitting in today. It's just as real as those benches you're sitting on, those pews. It is a real place, all right? And it's got some buildings there. Certainty in its structure. But also it's certain in its definition. What? Well, look in your verse, all right? The Bible says we have a building of God, and then it defines for us what that building is. The Bible says it's a house. It is a house. Listen, folks, a house is built so somebody can have a home. That's why it's built. You don't see houses going up out there. When you, I remember when Dad moved in, and we built the house where I'm living now. When you went down there, we call it a creek, but it's really a drainage ditch, all right, that runs along there. Hey, on the other side of that creek ditch, there was nothing. Nothing. When he built that house there, And we built that house. There was nothing on the other side. And when they started building over there, we automatically assumed they're building a house because somebody is going to move in. Somebody's going to move in. A house is built so somebody can have a home. Hey, can I tell you, that is what the place of heaven is. It is a home. It is a home. Hey, my home that I live in now is a temporary arrangement, okay? My real home is in a different place, all right? But just think about that home, if you will. The home is a place where you can be most comfortable. Right, you can be. You go home, man, you kick off your shoes, pull off your socks. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I get in that chair that's got a gear shift on it. Man, I shift that gear and my feet come up, head goes back. Boy, I like it there, okay? I like it there. When I was a kid growing up, my brother and I used to talk about this as kids. We'd drive from Georgia or Florida, and we'd come down to Southeast Texas to visit my grandparents and mom's people. And her folks lived down in Southeast Texas around Beaumont, Vidor area. And we'd come and we would stay. And he and I always thought, why can't we stay a little bit longer? Why can't we stay a little bit longer? But, I mean, we'd get there, and it seemed like no time. All right, boys, we're leaving tomorrow. Come on, Dad, why can't we stay long? We're leaving tomorrow. I never understood it, growing up, but I do now. I do now. I go visit somebody. I remember my dad saying, well, you seen them, you talk to them, you ask how they are, they've told you how they are, you've told them how you are, you've talked about everybody you know, let's go home, all right? And, hey, I'm honest. I just tell you the truth. I am that way. I go up to see my daughter in Oklahoma City. Their home, they have a nice home, but it's not my home. It's not comfortable to me. I've told my daughter, why don't y'all get something that's comfortable to sit in? All right? You sit in the couch, you get in it, you sink. You feel like, all right, somebody get the winch and get me out of here, all right? You know, you have to just kind of crawl out of it to get up. And I'm not there long, I'll be honest, until, let's go home. Let's go home. I've seen them, they're all right, I'm happy, let's go home. Hey, that place, home, is a place where you can get to, you can relax. It's where you can be yourself without trying to impress anybody or trying to better anybody else, all right? It's that place where you have a sense of belonging. Belonging. Hey, listen, can I say this to you? You raising kids, you need to build a home where they feel like this is where we belong. We belong. This is our home. Home is a place of joy. It's a place where the family can get together. It's a gathering place for fellowship, for fun, and maybe even foolishness sometimes, but a gathering place for the family. Hey, folks, that's heaven. That's heaven. Certain place. And not only is it certain in its definition as a home and a house, but it's certain in its duration. Would you look there in verse 1 again? It says, an house not made with hands. Look at that next word, eternal. Eternal. Could you just hang on that word for a moment? Eternal. How long is that? Well, the truth of the matter is, you just try to think about that. Eternal. It's going to be there forever. It'll never waste away. It will never wear out. It'll never be destroyed. Nothing like that. You realize there'll never be a house in heaven that's empty? Won't be that. Hey, we've all been there in your neighborhood. You've heard the sirens. You've seen the ambulance, seen people come up, and they're there for a while. If you stay long enough, you'll see coming out of that house, there's a stretcher. For the person that's on that stretcher is now totally covered up. Maybe been put in a body bag. And they're gone. And a few days later, maybe, or weeks, somebody comes and they clean the whole place out. It's empty. Never be that in heaven. Never be that in heaven, because the one who lives there has been given eternal life. Eternal life. Our life will match the structure we're in, that house. The Bible says it's eternal. It is a building, all right? And it's not made with hands, but it's eternal. Eternal. What a wonderful place that'll be. I really feel like it'll need no maintenance. Man, I don't know how you feel about that, but that makes me real happy. I do not like doing maintenance, okay? But there's always something that needs fixing at a house. Always something. I got a text message this week from a member of the church and said, "Do you have so-and-so's phone number? Because I've got a problem that I need fixed. Not an emergency, but if you can send this." And they needed a plumber, and they knew one that I knew. And so they said, "Would you send me that number?" Why? Maintenance. Stuff's constantly wearing out. Wearing out. Not then. It's eternal. It's certain in its duration. But not only that, it's certain in its designer. Would you look there in that verse? It says we have a building of God. Of God. An house not made with hands. It's God's work. It is God's work. He designed it. That house that's there for you, I believe it's going to be a mansion. I believe it will be. But I don't know what that mansion is going to consist of. Neither do you. I saw the other day, I clicked on the internet and it was saying something that's probably anti-Trump, because this particular site's usually anti-Trump, and they were saying he had made $54 million on flipping this mansion. And if the picture of the mansion was what it was really the one they were talking about, I'm looking at it thinking, why would anybody want that much house? Beyond my ability to comprehend why you'd want that much. This huge place. You know, we think about a mansion. I don't know about y'all. I don't have to have 57 bedrooms in my mansion in heaven. I don't have to have that. But it'll be there. But it's designed and it's built by God. All right? John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, he said, "I'm going away. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you." For you. Wait a minute. Think about that for a moment. You realize everything we see in this world, God made it in 6 days? 6 days? Hey, by the way, not 6 millennia. Not 18 million years. Not 1 billion years. Science loves to say, well, it's only been here about 3.5 billion years. Hey, listen to me. It didn't take God but 6 days to put everything here that's here. Have you ever noticed how marvelous it is? Man, I go to places that God made, and I stare at it open mouth. It's unbelievably beautiful. He's been working on a place for me and you for nearly 2,000 years. Think about that. What's it going to be like? It's certain in its designer. God built it. But would you notice this? It's certain in its timeline. Timeliness. See, I want you to go back to the beginning of this verse. Here's where the if comes in. Here's where the if comes in. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this tabernacle were dissolved. Now, he's not talking about that house you have or that apartment you live in now. He's talking about you, this body, because this is our earthly house for this, our soul and our spirit. What you're looking at is not the real me. The real me, I just want to tell you this, the real me is extremely muscular, probably 6'5", squashed down into this body I have to live in. Okay? So that's why I struggle sometimes, okay? That's why I struggle. But I have to live in this body. Now, you might not think it looks very good, okay? I don't tell you, this body is deteriorating, just like yours is. It's deteriorating. Oh, yeah, we got problems. But the Bible says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, and it will, it's going to die. But this is where the if, hey, you with me? This is where that if part gets so good. If that happens to you, all right, if it's destroyed, it's no longer useful, then that heavenly home's going to be ready. It'll be ready to move into. When this one is done, you're not going to get to heaven and say, I'm sorry, not quite finished. You're going to have to live in the Motel 6 until we can get your place finished. No. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have right now the timeliness. It's certain to be available when it's needed. You ever stop and think about that? Certain to be available when it's needed. Sometimes people die unexpectedly. I've had phone calls. I'll never forget going home one day, pushing the button. The answer machine was blinking. Pushed the button on the answer machine, and I heard the voice of Russell Patterson come on. And Russell Patterson said, I just want to let you know my dad died. He passed away. I had to back it up and listen to it about three times. Brother Patterson's a missionary in Mexico. He had an accident, fallen, broken his legs. And I thought, you know, that's not a problem. But he died. Well, just like that. But I'll tell you something. God didn't say, what are you doing here? Hey, his place was ready. This earthly house, then this one right here, it dissolved. But there was another one ready for him to move to. Certain it'll be available when it's. Now, the certainty of heaven, but wait a minute, I'm going to tell you, there is one uncertainty. I want you to look at that verse. Notice the Bible says, we know, and then it says, we have. The uncertainty is in the identity of that we. The uncertainty is the identity of that we. Who is that? Who is it? We live in a time where it seems like everybody who dies, I hear people say, well, they've gone to a better place. They've gone to a better place. I'll be honest with you. We say that about people where there's absolutely no evidence in the world that when they died, they went to a better place. Nothing. No evidence at all. I've preached funerals for people who I had no idea. No idea if that person saved or lost. No idea. I'll never forget preaching a funeral one time, and after preaching the funeral, went out to the graveside. I had two people come up to me that went to school with that individual that had passed away. And they said to me, and they called his name, so he got saved. I had to say to him, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know him. Really didn't know him. I was just asked to preach the funeral. You see, we live in a time where it seems like everybody thinks everybody's going to heaven. Oh, well, with the first, you know, just a few, maybe truly evil people, Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong and those, and mass murderers, they're not going, but everybody else. Wait a minute, is that true? Examining the scripture, when we look at 2 Corinthians, when he's talking about we, you need to think about, well, who's the we? Well, obviously it's Paul, because he's writing. So he's writing. Who's he talking to? We'll go back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, would you? Let's see who he's talking to, all right? Verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, that's who the we is. He says, folks in the church, and it's the saints. It's the saints. Now, if you don't understand scriptural terminology, a saint is a person that's been born again. That's who a saint is. If you've ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a saint. Scripturally, a church is a body of born-again believers. That's what it is, all right? And so when we talk about the who of that we who know and we who have, scripturally, people who have been born again. People who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the fact that you were born on this earth doesn't make you a candidate for heaven. Doesn't mean you're going. Hey, mom and dad, hey, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church every time the doors were open. Me too. But that didn't make me a child of God. There had to come a time when me, this guy right here, that I realized, wait a minute, I'm lost and deserving of hell, and the only hope I've got is to come to Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, and where I go, ye cannot come. Hey, that's not this preacher casting judgment on anybody. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in this book. It's in this book. My friend, let me just say to you, okay? Whether you're here or you're listening in today, we know and we have because we've been born again. Because we've been redeemed. That song we sang, we've been redeemed. Hey, that's true. That's us. I am talking to you. We're certain. We know that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And when this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body, this earthly house is dissolved, I'm moving in. I'm moving in. But wait a minute. How certain are you for heaven? How certain are you for heaven? It's easy for a preacher to get up here and just assume you good folks are saved. You're saved. But you're not saved. You're not a child of God this morning because one time long ago in vacation Bible school or in some other situation, you decided, my friends are doing, I think I will. You're not saved this morning because you prayed some magic words. Because there are no magic words. You're saved this morning only because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You settled it. You settled it. You came to Him and you accepted His gift of eternal life. That's it. But I want to ask you this, those of you that are sitting here that are saved, how about your friends? How about family members? How about those? Brother Mudd this morning talking about his brother-in-law lost. He's got a burden to see him get saved. Been witnessing to him for years. Burden to see him get saved. How about you? How about you? I was sitting in the barber chair yesterday. Tried to talk to my barber about the Just talked about the Lord for just a few minutes. It's on Friday, actually. Sitting there in that chair and got an opening. Just tried to talk to him a little bit about the Lord. I didn't jump up and grab my New Testament and get in and put my finger in his face. But I said, hey, man, he's 80 years old. That's why my haircut looks the way it does, all right? He's 80-year-old, but he's still barbering. I'm glad he is. I like him. Let's try to talk to him a little bit about the Lord. Hey, I want him when he dies, I want him to go to heaven. I want him to be certain of heaven. Be certain of heaven. Let me ask you this before we stop. We have the invitation. Do you know for sure you're certain for heaven? Who's out there that you love and know that's not? You could witness to. You could maybe win. Maybe this last question, are you living ready to go at any moment? Ready to go at any moment. I told my barber, I said, you know, the one thing we got to be careful about, I said, we got to be ready to go. You need to be ready to go. He kind of took that as mean right now. I said, not necessarily do I mean I'm anxious to get there. Some days I am. But I'll tell you this, I said, when he calls, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. When that time comes, I want to be ready. Are you living that way? And let me tell you something, heaven is a guaranteed certainty. It's there. But whether or not you're going is not a guaranteed certainty unless you've trusted Unless you've trusted him. How about it? How about it? Who's out there that needs to be as sure as you are that you can win? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, I believe with all my heart heaven's a real place. It's there. You've prepared it. But Lord, it's a prepared place for prepared people. For people that have put their trust in Dear God, if there's anybody today within the sound of my voice that is trusting anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for their eternal home in heaven, dear God, would you speak to them today? Would you bring conviction where it's needed? Would you help them to see their need? Help them to realize, hey, I have a need. I'm not saved because mom's saved or dad was a Christian, and I'm not going to heaven because I go to church some. Lord, they need that personal relationship with you. Would you deal with us, Lord? Deal with every heart, deal with every soul. Help us see our need. Lord, if there's some folks living in such a way that they wouldn't be ready to go, would you help them to come today and make some things right? Use the invitation today to bring conviction to help us, we pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We sing the invitation hymn today. God's dealing with you. You need to be born again. Would you come? Would you come today? Would you trust the Savior? You take him as your Savior. He loves you. He'd save you if you'd come to him. God's dealing with you. Would you come this morning? While we sing this verse, come ahead, come ahead. Dealing with you, would you come? God bless you. It's good to have you this morning. I trust that you got the message. Hey, listen, let's have a burden for people that we know that need to be born again. Let's have a burden for them. Let's go after them, witness to them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. You can plead with them. Plead with them to trust the Savior. Listen, if you haven't met the Bartels, be sure you do. Y'all want to go ahead and go out and be your display there. Be sure you meet them, get acquainted with them. And like I say, if you'll pray for them, pick up a prayer card so you have that to remind you to pray for them. Then don't forget to come back to church tonight, 6 o'clock, all right? Hey, listen, the Bible says so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you can't see the day of His return approaching, you are spiritually blind.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay? You don't understand the Scripture at all. Amen. Come back to church tonight, 6 o'clock. Be good for you.
Amen.
It'll help you. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer if we could. Brother Smart, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?